Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
In a world that encourages and champions people who are social and outgoing, it can be difficult for someone to be quiet. Someone who prefers to be quiet. How is the workplace skewed to favorite extroverts? What additional challenges do introverted women and people of color face? Right now, we're going to talk about the talents that introverts bring to the job and how workspaces can better accommodate people who are more likely to be quiet and to not bring attention to themselves. If you are listening right now and you are an introvert, I would really like to hear from you. Take some time to think about what you want people to know and call me. The number is 651-227-6000. Or if writing is easier, you can certainly tweet me. I'm at Angela Davis, NPR. Let me introduce my guest today. We have Freda Marver here. She is the founder and owner of Begin Again Coaching, where she provides career and life coaching. And she is a self-described introvert. Good morning, Freda.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Angela.
Nice to meet you. We also have Sequoia Holmes, a social media strategist and a writer based in Los Angeles. She recently wrote an essay titled Black Women Aren't Allowed to Be Introverted, for Bise, which is a digital news platform by actress Zoe Saldana. She's also a self-described introvert, joining us on the phone from L.A. Good morning, Sequoia.
Good morning, Angela. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I am delighted to start this conversation. I will acknowledge I am an extrovert, as you may have guessed, since I'm a talk show host, but I'm an extrovert. And Freda, I'll begin with you. What exactly is an introvert? How do you describe what that term means?
So, introversion is a term that was first coined by Carl Jung, who was a Swiss psychoanalyst, therapist, psychologist. And he talks about introversion and extroversion as where do you draw your energy? Where do you receive energy? So a person who's introverted draws their energy from going inward, the world of ideas, reflection, memories. A person who's extroverted likes outward energy, the world of people and activities and being out there. So it's really about energy. Where do you get your energy?
So yeah, as an extrovert, I draw my attention from people like you.
Oh.
Right?
Well, and this is so wonderful because this talks about why we need both in the world. It's a preference. There's not a right or wrong. Introversion, extroversion isn't better or worse. But extroverts help bring introverts out. Introverts can help bring extroverts to focus. The world's just a more exciting place when you've got the different spices going on.
Is there any data out there that sort of divides up like what percentage of the population is introverted?
So there's research and you see different numbers from anywhere between 30 to 50% of the population is introverted. And I think it's closer to 50% if you look at research from this organization that I trust. The thing is, it feels like there's more extroverts in the world. And I think that's
because we're louder.
Because you take up more attention because you're extroverting. So we see you more. But what's really important for us introverts to remember is even though we're quiet, there's a lot of us out there. And if we look for us, we'll find us.
So when I go to the dictionary, I see introvert defined as a shy, withdrawn person, but that's not necessarily true. So what's the difference between being withdrawn?
Well, that's such a good question. And the introversion versus shy is a good question, too. It might look the same to the outside that an introvert and a shy person don't want to approach a group of people. But the difference is the shyness has a fear associated with it or an anxiety or a discomfort about being with people, whereas an introvert just likes their quiet time. They like to be alone.
Mm-hmm. Sequoia, you're listening to this. What is your definition of an introvert?
For me, I feel like an introvert is someone who gets their energy from themselves, from within, instead of necessarily from social interaction with other people.
But if I'm sitting beside you, I might be thinking, well, Sequoia's not talking to me. She must not like me.
Right. That's very frequent.
And so does that sort of describe the distinction between being an extrovert and an introvert?
I think so. I think people assume because introverts, sometimes they're not speaking or frequently are not speaking, it's because of the other person. They blame themselves. It's like, oh, you must not like me because you're not speaking to me. When in reality, that's just not who I am. And it's also not that I'm shy, because I am not. It's just that my natural disposition is not to be speaking necessarily.
So what's your understanding of what tends to happen to introverts in the workplace, Sequoia?
Introverts in the workplace and in school, like, tend to be undervalued and overlooked, from my experience. People underestimate what I can do because I'm not drawing attention to myself or, you know, vying for the attention of the room. Mm-hmm. So when I do perform, people are surprised and excited even, because they did not know that I could.
And Freda, you're a coach, a career, a life coach. Is that what you see as well in the workplace?
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of times introverts can kind of get run over in the workplace. Sometimes they can get talked over. They cannot get seen. This can happen in meetings. So it's really incumbent on introverts to, I think, first of all, be aware of what their introverted characteristics are and how they may help or hinder themselves in the workplace. And then sometimes there can be value in educating those around them about what they might need in order to be successful in the workplace as well.
As you're coaching clients, does this come up in conversation? I mean, do you ask people, like, are you an introvert or an extrovert? Or how does this even come up in conversation when someone's looking for coaching for their careers?
Usually people already come in having a pretty strong sense of whether they're introverted or extroverted. What they're coming in with is they're having some kind of problems. There's a behavior, something that's not working well in their best interests. And it's important to note, we can't change whether or not we're introverted or extroverted, and most of us don't want to. We're happy with who we are. But those behaviors that are getting in the way are things that maybe we can change, or we can talk to people who we work with about possibly trying to make some of those changes.
Now, Sequoia, in your introduction, I described that you are a social media strategist. So first, can you describe what your job entails? What do you do?
Yeah, so a social media strategist is pretty much the front-facing person. Anytime you go on an Instagram account or a Twitter account or a Facebook account for a brand or for a bigger person, it's likely whatever's being posted is being posted by a social media strategist who has worked on that piece for a good amount of time. So that's the person that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I understand you're 25 years old. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yep. And so what has been your experience in the workplace? Have you had some struggles?
Yes. So at my previous job, I was brought into my end of year review, and they told me, you know, your work is really good. Everything is really strong, but the issue that we're having is that you do not speak up enough, particularly in meetings. Mm-hmm. And they essentially told me either speak up more or else. And about 3 months later, I was laid off. And so the or else happened.
So being,
in that case.
So being an introvert, there can be a cost associated to it in the workplace.
Definitely.
Right. One of the reasons we reached out to you, Sequoia, is that you wrote an essay, and the title of it is Black Women Are Not Allowed to Be Introverted. And this appeared on an online publication, has gotten a lot of attention. And I want to read just an excerpt of it. Here's what you say about being an introvert in the workplace. You state, when I fail to live up to the funny, entertaining, sassy Black woman stereotype, they're quick to assume my failure to entertain is because I don't like them. This isn't a huge problem until it's time for peer reviews, promotions, or layoffs. Then it quickly becomes an insidious dehumanization tool that can result in job termination because Black women are not afforded the luxury of introversion, especially not in the workplace. Very powerful words. Elaborate on that, how Black women, that this is even more significant for them.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that it's powerful. For me, I feel like I'm always being roped into this sort of witty banter that I'm assumed to want to be a part of. And I assume that's because of my cross of Black and woman. So people assume that I'm going to, you know, be sassier and want to entertain them. And when I don't, or, you know, a lot of times I will play into that until I'm tired. And that comes pretty quickly. I get drained of that pretty quickly. And then it's kind of just done. And so when I don't engage, or when I'm done engaging, people are like, I get the sense that you don't actually like me. Like you must not like me very much. But that's not it at all. And it feels a little unfair to put that assumption on me.
And the fact that there's a consequence for it, I think that's what I was really struck by, that, again, that there's a cost to it. So it's not just, my colleagues don't, you know, want to hang out with me, or there's more than just social implications. I mean, when it can result in a layoff or a demotion because of this perception that you somehow are, I guess you become a problem. Is that a way to describe it?
100%. A lot of the times the social implications become professional implications. I talk about how company happy hours are such a big deal. But
well,
that
who doesn't love a happy hour? I love happy hour. It's happy.
Right. I mean, it's intended that way. But for someone who's a little bit more introverted, it seems to skew extroverted. You know, you have to be going out of your way to get the attention of colleagues and, you know, higher ups, and making them comfortable with you. And when it comes time for promotions and things like that, they tend to go with the people who they are most comfortable with, even if those people are not, they're never underqualified, but even if they are not necessarily the most qualified, if you are the most qualified, but they are not necessarily comfortable with you because you weren't at the happy hour because it makes you uncomfortable. That's when social implications become professional implications.
And Freda, can you speak on that?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank Sequoia for the article that she's written.
It's bold, isn't it?
It's really bold. And we as introverts have issues that we deal with. But the expectation she talks about being a Black woman and the expectations about the way Black women are supposed to behave, it was an eye-opener for me. And it's just a whole additional layer that she's fighting against. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to mention that. I've worked with clients, too, that have struggled with not speaking up in meetings and the consequences that happen around that. I had one client who had a lot of difficulty with the CEOs in meetings because he would ask her questions and expect a rapid-fire response, and she wouldn't give one.
Because she doesn't function that way.
She doesn't function that way. And afterwards, we talked about it, and it turned out she was afraid of making a commitment to something that might not be 100% true. She wanted some time to think it over before she went back to talk to him again.
Which is reasonable, right?
Right. So a combination of training him to say, let me give you an immediate answer, but let me come back to you in a half hour if I come up with something else. So, you know, it's not only changing your own behavior, but trying to change the expectations of those that you work with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for many reasons, the value of Sequoia's her essay, it just, for me, and I'm a Black woman too, it made me stop and think. I'm like, wow, what is it that, you know, that I am doing or that others are doing that is making life more difficult for an introvert? Because that's never, for extroverts, that's not the intention. But I think she paints a very clear picture of that there's harm that can come because people make assumptions about introverts, which we shouldn't. And so, Sequoia, what's been the feedback you've gotten from having this published online and just out there?
I have been very surprised at how well it's been received and how many people can say they relate. Mm-hmm. People who I assumed were extroverted, turns out they're just pretty good at putting on an extroverted facade when they need to, and told me they could relate. People who actually are not extroverted told me that they could relate just from the standpoint of being a Black woman who sometimes doesn't feel like talking, you know? So, yeah, it's been really well received, and it's been in a lot of work flex. So I hear in a lot of work channels and things like that.
I want to open up the phone lines now so our listeners can participate. In Northfield, Susan is listening. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your story?
I just wanted to say that I'm an introvert, so it's really hard for me to call in.
Thank you for doing it, though.
But I'm one of those people who puts on a really good extroverted facade. Because of my job, I have to be extroverted and interact with people all day long. And I rely on my extroverted friends to support me in doing that. But it's sometimes hard for extroverted people to understand the personal expense that comes along with that.
And that expense is what? It's draining is what it sounds like?
I just come home and I'm exhausted and I need to be home. So I think for extroverts, their bucket is filled when they interact with people. And for me, my bucket is filled when I'm at home and I'm alone and am allowed to be introverted. And it when I'm interacting with people, it costs a lot. It comes in the form of exhaustion, and I need to be at home to refill my bucket and just to replenish myself.
That's a great description. Thank you, Susan in Northville, for calling in. Freda, what do you have to say about the personal expense is what she described?
Well, it's so true. We introverts draw our energy from being alone. So we can be out with people for a while, and then we really need our time to introvert.
But then you hurt my feelings because you left happy hour early, Freda, and I wanted to talk to you more. You left.
I'm so
sorry. So you don't like me.
Sorry, Sequoia. So how do you and I have a conversation? It's like, how can I teach you about being introverted, what it feels like versus what it feels like about being extroverted? You know, when Jung talks about the preferences, it's interesting because he talks about signing your name, and you do that with your dominant hand. And then he says, put the pen in your other hand and sign your name.
It's hard.
It's really hard. And then he likens that to when you're signing with your dominant hand, that's your dominant preference. So if you're an introvert, when you sign with your dominant hand, it's easy. It feels good. You can do that. When you put it in the other hand, you struggle. It's harder.
It's tiring.
To be really self-conscious. Mm-hmm. It's tiring. So it would be a wonderful thing about doing a show like this is not only, hopefully, is it supporting us introverts in the world out there, but it's helping extroverts understand what life is like for us. Now, I could just see the extroverts saying, we want a show now. We want a show now, too. And and by all means, go do it.
We're listening and understanding. Just reading about this has helped me so much, you know, to understand just, you know, something I'd never really given a lot of thought to. So it's been very helpful to me.
Well, you know, one thing, too, about introverts and extroverts is that extroverts get their energy from talking by communicating. Introverts tend to listen and enjoy that listening process and do that well. I mean, extroverts also like to listen and introverts like to talk, but it's really wonderful if we can use those things to our advantage. Attentive listening is a powerful skill.
Sequoia, anything you want to add to what you heard that listener describe, the personal expense of being on when she would rather just be, you know,
yes, hello. It is draining. It definitely is a bucket situation where my bucket is being drained little by little throughout the 8-hour workday. And when I go home, I want to sit by myself and recuperate, which is a little difficult when you live in Los Angeles and you have a roommate. But, you know, you have the opportunity to go to your room, sit by yourself for a little bit, kind of get it together, fill your bucket the way that you like it to be filled.
But that sounds totally healthy and good to me to revitalize and take a moment and process. And
I agree, but sometimes people don't see it that way. Sometimes people see it as you're isolating yourself or you're being antisocial, but neither of those are true. I don't feel isolated and I don't identify as antisocial at all. I just need a second.
I want to open the phone lines again. In Coon Rapids, Awuvi is listening. Did I say that correctly?
Hi.
Hi, good morning. Go right ahead.
Good morning. My name is Awuvi. I'm a sleep technologist. I'm so happy you guys are doing this show. So happy. I'm an introvert. I'm from Africa, and I'm a black woman. So you can imagine, I think double, triple threat.
In terms of stereotypes.
It's been really difficult for me. And finally, I left the job when I was called to the office that I'm being difficult to work with. Yeah, my coworker, they complain all the time about me. being quiet, but it's just who I am. I cannot change myself.
Well, you sound delightful to me. So being quiet, what does that mean? You weren't constantly engaged in conversation. You were working.
I'm working, you know, but most of the time when they joke, when they play around, I just don't participate a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm just focusing on my job.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have, are you looking for a different job, or what solutions have you found to deal with this?
So I'm looking for a different job.
Mm. All right. That's a woovy there in Coon Rapids. Thank you. So what do you make of that, Alfredo? What advice would you have for her?
So first of all, I'm sorry for that situation that happened to you. I think that there were probably a lot of unfortunate factors that went into play there. I think when coworkers feel that another coworker isn't like them, that there can be a tendency to isolate them and push them away. And sadly, I think that's a big part of what happened to you on all three counts, being an introvert, being a Black woman, being African. You were very different from your counterparts, and that's hard. I think one thing that's important for us introverts to focus on, and I've learned this the hard way myself, is that very often we tend to focus on our job. And if we get our tasks done, we're a good employee, and isn't that all we need to do? But actually, in the workplace, we tend to get recognized and promoted because, number one, people like us and they value what we do. And number two, our bosses feel that they can rely on us. So how does that relate to introverts? And number one, people get promoted and recognized because they're liked. So what can we do to interact with other people in the workplace so they can see another side of us? And maybe it's as simple as trying to figure out what are some interests that each of the people on my team have and making it a point to go up to them in the morning and ask them, how did your daughter's soccer game go? Or, you know, how did that entertainment thing that you were doing
go? So trying to create a connection with someone.
Trying to create a connection and then listening, because that's something we introverts tend to do really, really well. And when you listen well to a person, you make them feel good about themselves. And hopefully that's something that will bode well for you.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about introverts in the workplace and the challenges that they deal with on a day-to-day basis. And we have a career coach, a life coach in studio with us, as well as Sequoia there in L.A. on the phone, who just wrote an article about being a Black woman and an introvert in the workplace. And Sequoia, I'm curious, what do you think of our caller, Awuvi there, who talked about her struggles that because she's quiet, that her coworkers, you know, said that she was a problem?
I've been there exactly. It is the most disheartening experience because you feel like you're being targeted just for who you are as a person. And it feels like discrimination because I'm quiet, but I'm also Black and different on a team. For me, I was on a team that was mostly white. I was the only unambiguously Black woman, and I was also the only quiet person really on the team. And so that othered me. And that made people feel like I did not like them, which in turn made them feel like I was difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. So I was reprimanded for that and told I needed to fix it or else. So I totally understand where she's coming from. It feels bad, and I'm so sorry that happened to her.
And I should mention, Sequoia, in your essay that you wrote, you talked about rarely was the criticism about your actual work. It was more about how you made other people feel.
It was never about my actual work. Yeah, it was about other people's perceptions of me.
Well, before I take more calls, and we do have some people on hold I want to get to, I promise I would read some of the written comments that I'm getting on Twitter. And I want to read this. Liz writes on Twitter, I hate a happy hour. I have to try to be social after being at work all day. It is the worst. I get frustrated when managers make it seem like you're not a team player if you don't want to attend. Now I work remotely and it's so much better for an introvert. Britt writes, my boyfriend is a textbook introvert and he definitely struggles with it because I think he feels like as a man, he shouldn't be so introverted. It has made it difficult for him to apply for jobs he would actually enjoy.
And let's see, this one, Mommy SJ writes, I am an introvert. I function at work as an ambivert because it enhances my career, but at home and in my personal life, I need downtime to recharge. I put on the extrovert facade when I have to because it makes me more likable and relatable. And from Storytime Girl, she writes, I'm an introvert and a part-time waitress. My job drains me every time I work, and I don't have energy until I get home and away from people. I also get easily mentally drained at parties, even with my best friends. A morning at home alone is what gives me a boost. So all of those comments really speak to you know, how big of a deal this is, how people have very strong feelings about this, and which is why we're doing the show. And again, looking for advice in social settings. What are you going to do? I mean, if you're in relationships and if you do want to go to family gatherings, you do want to participate, how does an introvert manage those scenarios?
You know,
oh, go ahead. Sequoia, you can go ahead.
Okay. When I know that I have something coming up, I'll take a few hours to recharge and get ready for that, where I know that I'm going to have to be interacting with a lot of people who I care about most times and want to be interacting with. So I want to be able to bring my full self to the situation, and I can't do that unless I am charged and ready to go. So I'll take a few hours by myself mm-hmm. beforehand when I have situations like that coming.
Freda, what advice do you give your clients?
I'm just nodding. That's a great way to protect yourself, is to give yourself that cushion. You know, one of the things I like to think about is that it's not that we introverts don't like people. We just like them in much smaller doses. And sometimes if we can share that with the people that we're close to, that can be helpful. It's interesting that, you know, the caller mentioned this, and Sequoia mentioned it a little bit too, and it's this work-life balance thing. But so often we can get drained at work, and then we come home and we want to just crash, but we can be with people in the household who want us to be doing things with them and to be active with them at that point too. Mm-hmm. So it can be a challenge to work it all out.
Let's get more of our callers into the conversation. We have Shelley in Minneapolis. Good morning, Shelley.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I just wanted to say, when Sequoia was relating her situation about being repeatedly suggested you should speak up more, I work in healthcare, and for more than 25 years I was hearing that same thing. You have a lot of good ideas, but we wish you'd speak up more. And so at the recommendation of some good friends, I, about 5 years ago, started taking improv classes, which have been just really valuable for me to be able to not overthink everything that I am going to say and not necessarily hold back quite as much. I still, I think, am considered thoughtful and quiet, but improv has really helped me a lot.
That sounds like great advice. Thank you for sharing that. That's Shelley in Minneapolis. Have you heard of that before?
I am just got this big grin on my face because I had a client who was one of the most introverted clients that I had. She was a legal librarian, and she was very quiet. And when I talked to her about what she did in her free time, she said she did improv, and I almost fell off my chair, and I thought, that's wonderful. Improv is a wonderful thing to do. I know a lot of introverts who have done Toastmasters and mm-hmm. found that to be helpful. Another thing, when people are always being asked to speak up, if one can talk to the people that they work with and ask, could I submit something in writing? Or even if we're doing a meeting, could we prep and have an agenda up front so those of us who are introverted can think about it beforehand and then come to the meeting with ideas already formulated? And is it possible after a meeting to do a post-meeting wrap-up and maybe even to volunteer and say, I'll be the one to send out a memo that described what happened at the meeting. And if anyone has any additional information they want to add at this point, do that. Then we mm-hmm. can add that in.
Because that, I mean, that gets at the goal, whatever you're meeting about, right?
Right.
It could be, you know, more thoughtful or a more productive way to move closer to the goal, just to do some things in writing.
Right.
In Minneapolis, we have Leanne, who is listening and on the phone. Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I hope you all are having a great day.
Yeah, I hear you're an extrovert.
I am an extrovert, or so I've been labeled as an extrovert. And that's kind of my point. Like, we have these labels, right? So I'm labeled as an extrovert. So if I'm in a quiet mood, maybe I've got something on my mind or whatever. My mood, quote unquote, impacts the office or the environment. So I've been coached in that manner where it becomes draining to be an extrovert all the time if you're not feeling it all the time. So, likewise, we're also the ones who we're having a conversation and I feel like there's something that we need to say about said conversation because something is not quite what we're feeling. And so then extroverts are more likely to speak up, which labels me as a troublemaker because I'm saying what everyone's thinking, but everyone else is too afraid to say it.
How do you know what everybody else is thinking?
Because usually we have instant messaging and I ask, hey, do you agree with that or is that incorrect?
Okay, so they're telling you. So from the extrovert's perspective, there's pressure there. You know, you think your colleagues expect you often to be the spokesperson for them?
I do, yes.
All right.
And I also get a lot of pressure to, even if I'm having a bad day, literally to fake it till you make it because my quote-unquote mood can have an impact on the environment in the office. Mm. And I don't feel like having labels as extrovert or introvert are necessarily fair because
it's startling it's startling when you come to work and you're quiet and people are like, well, something must be wrong.
Right? And then, exactly. And they're like, oh, did I do something? I must have offended Leanne and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you didn't offend me. I'm just kind of quiet today. Is that okay? And it's not usually okay. They're usually freaked out.
Thank you. That's Leanne in Minneapolis, an extrovert. How do we ever get anything done at work? I'm wondering. How does anything get done?
A lot of drama. You know, the thing that's so important is we do our best work when we can be our true, authentic selves and when other people can accept us for being our true, authentic selves. And I wish that instead of people saying, you're being too quiet or you're being too loud, if people would just look at whether or not we're being professional. Are we getting our work done? Are we speaking respectfully to our coworkers?
So, Corey, I want to get to you again. What do you think about the calls that we've received recently?
I can't quite relate to the extrovert.
The extrovert? What do you think about that
situation? Yeah. But I do understand feeling like you're being treated unfairly because of just how you feel at that moment. I think that's pretty much what I've been talking about this whole time. I just don't feel like saying anything. When I have something to say, I will. And when I don't, I won't. And I don't most times. So I totally understand what she meant by that. If her mood is off, something's on her mind, she just doesn't feel like saying something, and that's an issue.
All right. I want to go back to the phone lines now. In Minneapolis, Trent is listening. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning.
Hi.
So I am very extroverted most of the time, and I am married to a woman who is very introverted. And we've been together for 17 years, including dating and everything. And so over the course of that period of time, I've really learned how to interact with introverts very well because I've learned like when she just needs her space and how much time she sometimes needs to kind of digest a situation before she's willing to communicate or able to really communicate effectively about it. And that's been living with an introvert has helped me with my teaching career that I started about 5 years ago, where if I have a classroom of 30 some students and I ask a question and I know that there are some students who are introverted and they're not going to be the ones who are going to be able to immediately answer that question. They're not going to be the ones who speak out in class as readily. But that doesn't mean that they're not still getting something out of the conversation. And I've learned a little bit about how to wait for those students to give them a chance to participate, even though they're not the first ones to speak up because they're more naturally introverted, kind of similar to what my partner is like.
Right. We appreciate your patience. He's offering a good strategy there.
Right. And I would just say bravo on several points there. I mean, first of all, figuring out how to communicate with your spouse is so important so that you can both see that each other's needs are met. And then you're being able to carry that through as a teacher. I've had actually two clients who were teachers, and when they were doing their student training, they were criticized for being introverted and actually told, you'll never be a good teacher because you're too introverted. And I was so saddened by that because half of their students are introverted, and how wonderful for an introverted child to see an introverted teacher. The other thing, too, that can be helpful is when a teacher is asking a question, I guess really young kids this won't work, but even in meetings, is when you ask a question, is to have everybody first write down what they're thinking before people start talking. And then after a few minutes, say maybe share with your partner or share with the group. And that gives the introverts a chance to process in a way that works well for them.
So, Corey, in our remaining minute or so here, what advice would you have to everyone about how we view and treat introverts in the workplace?
First, I just want to take a second to thank Trent for being a school teacher who takes in consideration his introverted students. I never felt that, and I feel like it's really important, so I really appreciate him for that. Advice that I would give people to deal with introverts is just to not make any assumptions and to kind of let people be who they are at a core, regardless of what you assume people should be or types of people should be or types of people are, because, you know, none of us are monoliths. Humans are different and we come from different places and things like that. So it's just important to remember that some days people don't want to speak to you. Some days, that's most days for some people. So, yeah.
All right. And Freda, quickly, any words of encouragement for introverts and extroverts so we can get along better?
I think just being aware of the differences and letting us all be our authentic selves so that we can flourish and bring to the world the gifts we have to offer.
Let's just all be professional. There we go. Work on the goal. Thank you. I appreciate this conversation. Our two guests, Sequoia Holmes, a social media strategist and writer based in Los Angeles, and Freda Marver, a founder and the owner of Begin Again Coaching here in the Twin Cities, where she provides career and life coaching. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Angela. Have a nice one.
Thank you, Angela. It's been lovely.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to the conversation, you can call in at 651-227-6000 or tweet us at Angela Davis MPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. You can send us your questions or comments by emailing talk@npr.org.